get right for the nighttime. Big business, bitch. Big money stacks. Gon' bless that bottle. It's all cognac. Yeah. Pop bottles from the night to the moon.
Hello, everyone. Hi. It's us, and we're back.
Yes, this is episode 76 of Catnaps and Cognac.
Meow.
Well, we are your hosts.
Yes.
I'm Arielle.
And I'm Dee Dee. And again, you are listening to episode 76 of Catnaps and Cognac. If you are a return listener, thank you so much for coming back. And if this is your first time listening, thank you for joining us. And we hope that you will go back and listen to the other 75 episodes.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be great. And you'd have lots of fun listening to us because we are a riot. Yeah.
Yes, we'll have to say that. How are you?
I am fantastically well. And yourself?
I'm cool. I just woke up from a little nap.
Nice. Naps are great.
Yeah, I woke up like right on time.
Good. Love
that. Yeah, and I feel a little, I have that like that nap high going on.
Oh man, those are awesome. When you wake up, you're like, ooh, I just woke up from a nap.
Right.
I don't know what I want to do right now.
What time is it?
Right.
Where am I? Who am I?
Oh man, you know what? I love naps, but I hate when I nap and then like I feel like I fell asleep. And then, you know, you wake up, you're like, oh my God, do I have to go to work in the morning? What did I miss the day? Like, and you're like,
yes.
Bruh, it's only been 2 hours. Relax.
That panic.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's happened to me a couple times.
I hate that panic.
And that panic is definitely like some of the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate that.
I remember one time, this happened to me last year, I want to say. I woke up. Took a nap, I want to say. Woke up at like 6 something and it was like 8 something. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, I'm jumping out of bed. I'm opening my closet. I'm grabbing stuff to like brush my teeth and like head to the bathroom. I'm like, it's so dark out. Like, I'm freaked the fuck out. And then I was like, wait a second. It's never been that bad before, but it was like total panic, like, you're late, you're late, you're late.
Man, I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. Hate that. Or like you wake up on a Saturday and you're like, oh my God, I gotta. And it's like,
oh, girl.
It's Saturday.
Uh-uh.
It's Saturday. Calm down.
Not feeling it.
No.
Especially not on no damn Saturday.
Right. Not on a Saturday. Like, I'm supposed to be relaxed, chilling. No. Go back to sleep.
Let me do my thing. Let me do my thing.
However, having a dog, I am incapable of having a Saturday where I sleep in because she's on a schedule. And so I wake up at 6:45. The latest I can really take her out is like 9 o'clock. That's the latest. And who wants to wake up at 9 o'clock on a Saturday? Like, come on.
Mm-mm.
I'm tired from the week. Got all the stuff that I was doing. I just want to sleep in. But she will just scratch at my face. I put the covers over my face and she will scratch at it like, nope, you know what? We're not doing this today. You need to get up and take me outside because I need to use the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And what can I do? I have to take her out. The poor thing can't go to the potty by herself, so.
Sometimes I'm sure you probably want to be like, you know what, Dakota, just go walk yourself.
Here,
take my keys. Lock the door on you when you come back.
Yes. I really do. I'd be like, God, I wish you like were a self-sufficient animal where you could just be like, I'm going to go on a walk and I'll be back.
Like, just turn into Brian from Family Guy for a second.
Please.
Just a second.
You know, like,
when you come back, I could have the wine waiting for us.
Right.
Just like Brian. It'll be fine.
Man, that's all I want. That's all I want. Anywho. Well, I know we're having some laughs, but we have a little bit of sad news that we want to talk about. Sad current event.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so most of you guys, I'm sure, have heard about Michael Brown and how he was executed by a Ferguson police officer. And Ferguson is like a town within St. Louis, I believe, or outside of St. Louis. And this happened, what, Sunday?
On Saturday.
Saturday. Happened on Saturday. He was gunned down, unarmed, an unarmed black teenager. He's 17. We don't know the full story. However, what the cockamamie story that they're giving us is not one that I believe, because they're trying to say that there was a struggle in the police cruiser, and then the police shot at him, and then all I know is that his body ended up 35 feet away from the cop car, and that's where he was, you know, killed. So I don't understand how these cops can say that this particular cop who shot him to death felt that he was in imminent danger of a person who was 35 feet away. Mm-hmm. So it just, it's really sad. And it's so funny when you're reading the media and how they plant these seeds in our minds when something like it's, I'm not trying to make this a black and white thing. I really am not, but they've made it that way.
Right. It's hard not to make it anything else.
Yeah, it's really hard not to make it anything else, because when they show his picture, it's like, oh, you know, a black teen who we don't know if he was, you know, had any gang affiliation. However, this was not said about his picture, but another child that was shot down in Los Angeles. They said, don't know if he has any gang affiliation, but was killed by the LAPD. It's like, why is that even put in there if you don't know if he does or doesn't have any gang affiliation? Right. Why is that put in there?
You have no basis. Right. You have nothing to go by.
However, that the guy who shot up the theater, I believe when Batman came out or something like that, was some movie, and he shot up that theater. The headline reads, theater gunman was a excellent student. And it's just like, you see how they're planting these seeds? Like, he's white and he was this excellent student, but then the black kid, oh, we don't know if he has any gang affiliations. Why? And like, with Michael Brown, the picture that they used, they didn't use the picture of him when he just graduated high school. They put up a picture where he's like, you know, in his street clothes and he's doing a peace sign. And then there was even this one white woman who said, is that a gang sign? She asked. Yes. She asked if that was a gang sign. It was wild.
That lady was a troll.
She was a troll, and let me tell you, these Twitter detectives, they definitely found her YouTube, and she's a racist because she has this video that she posted up on YouTube of these black kids, and the title of the video was "Future Inmates."
Wow,
that's what she titled the video. And so, I mean, she's a troll and a complete racist, obviously. It's just, I don't know, this is really sad, and I'm so sick and tired of, you know, our children getting killed. And, like, you know, I'm not a mother, but, you know, I hope to be one soon. And, you know, I'm scared of raising my children in this world.
I mean, I definitely feel a little bit that way.
Yeah.
But it just sucks, especially the fact that, like, all right, you know, 2012, we had Trayvon, there's Jordan Davis. Right. We just came off the heels of the Renisha McBride verdict.
Right.
And there's, I feel like there's always something, and I know I'm forgetting someone else within the same, like, week as Mike Brown. And it's like, there's just so many that's happening back to back to back to back to back. And it's like, how can we not see that there is a problem that's happened? Oh, Eric Garner. And it's like, how do we not see that there is a problem that's occurring when it comes to the authority and how people consider our lives? It's like,
yeah,
it's unreal.
It's unreal. And, you know, there was a discussion that was being had on Twitter where they were saying how, you know, white people, they're taught to believe that the police are there to protect and serve and things like that. And then for us, we have to teach our kids, like, don't act funny around the cops because they'll get froggy with a gun and shoot you. You know, they're not here to protect you.
Right.
They're here to protect everyone else from you, basically. It's just, it's really awful. And somebody put up a picture on Instagram where it was like a police standoff, one from 50 years ago and then one today. And it's just like, wow, nothing really has changed. And people want to say that this is post-racial America. It's not. It really isn't. The only thing now is that we're able to, you know, go to school with them and shop in the same stores.
And barely. If they wanted to, because the dude was just shot in Walmart for buying a BB gun from Walmart.
Right. So, I mean, like, it's crazy. And, you know, my prayers and my sympathies go out to his family because, you know, he was off to school. Even though it was technical school, good grief, he was going to go do something with his life, you know? And now that's one less black man that we have out there to, you know, try to better their lives. It's really sad. I mean, like, I had a moment where, you know, I actually got really emotional because there are people who are recounting what happened were saying that he was saying, please don't shoot, don't do this. Please don't do this. He had his hands in the air, his knees he was on his knees saying, please don't do this, please don't do this. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, why is this happening? And this poor child is begging for his life, begging you not to do it. And then you go and you empty your clip in him. That's wild.
It is wild. And now they're saying that they're not going to release the name of the cop who shot him, who was on paid leave right now. The anonymous group hacked into their systems and like shut shit down.
Yeah.
But now they have, like, you know, their armed forces, like, all up in the city. I heard that they might impose a curfew now in Ferguson. Like, it's crazy. This is insane.
They declared it a no-fly zone for 9 days.
Yeah.
So, basically, now we're all shut out. Like, no-fly zone, so you can't fly at 33,000 feet. If you fly lower than 3,000 feet, that it's a no-fly zone, so I believe that they can shoot you down. And so, basically, that's all the news copters. So, no news copters can fly around. Nobody's allowed to come in to Ferguson. So, they're shutting everybody out. All we have is local news outlets. And, I mean, the local news outlet people are getting shot with wooden pellets and stuff like that. So, it's really awful. And so disenchanting. And all I can do is just pray for the people in Ferguson, pray for, you know, Michael Brown and his soul, and pray for his family.
Yeah, shout out to Brittany Noble, though. She was a reporter from St. Louis who was the one who first reported on the incident. Like, she heard it happening and no one was covering it, and she went down and she covered it. So she was, besides, of course, social media, but she was part of the reason why it got brought to national attention.
Good, good, good. And, yeah, it's kind of like I get news updates from, like, my news from Florida and New York, and I haven't received any update, like, any flashes on my phone about Michael Brown. Not one.
Yeah, and how about CNN? They were, because people were rioting and stuff like that. How about people were CNN was covering the fact, like, interviewing someone on the fact that people were rioting and looting, but they still haven't, they didn't at that time actually cover
the story,
the incident that happened.
It's wild. That's the thing. And look, and that's the thing, like, the media will make, you know, a big stink about something to distract you for something
else. Let's just call it the white media.
Yeah, the white media. White media will do that. And, I mean, for the most part, that's what we got.
Yeah.
So unless we're watching BET or TV1, that's all we got.
Right.
It's really disenchanting, and I want us to do better. I want not us black people. I'm just us as humans to do better. I don't understand. And like this cop, like something was going on with him or her. I'm gonna assume it was a man that day, because how can you repeatedly shoot someone in the head that was unarmed, wasn't doing anything? Why aren't they teaching these cops? So you can, if he was doing anything to you, can't you just disable him by maybe shooting him in the knee?
Or no one goes for that anymore.
Tasing him or hitting him with your baton, whatever. Why do you why is everyone so trigger happy? What is going on here? It's crazy, but. Yeah, so it's a sad story to report.
Yeah, it sucks because it's like I don't even have like a good feeling about this outcome.
Me either.
Like always. Like right. I was actually shocked at the Renisha McBride killer verdict.
Me too.
That he was found guilty.
Me too.
So that was like, and it's like, no, it's not just being served totally, but it's like, okay, because this never happened.
Right.
Or we never see this happen.
Right.
So with something like this, where they're not releasing names, they got the city on lockdown. This is just like, what?
Yeah.
So it makes it clearly, it's, I don't know. I'm not even going to put anything out there that something bad is going to happen again or like with whatever that comes out.
We don't want that to happen, but with previous things that have happened, it's hard for you to have a hopeful outlook that, you know, justice is going to be served here.
Mm-hmm.
It's really difficult to have it. However, we're going to keep hope alive and keep this whole situation lifted in prayer.
Yes.
Yeah. But moving on, we're going to move on to something else. Something on a lighter note. So you guys know how, you know, well, not really here in the States, the whole maternity leave. Well, dads are trying to take paternity leave. More dads want paternity leave, but getting it is a different matter. Now, in the United States, the maternity leave thing is really crazy. Like, women have to go on disability. They have to claim that they're disabled, which is so crazy to me. I hate that being pregnant is considered a disability. It's not a disability.
Right.
You're bringing life into the world. But whatever. So women have to claim disability and, you know, go through FMLA and they only get 6 weeks of pay and things like that. Like, that's so unfair. United States is just not really family, you know, oriented when it comes to that. However, they want you to go on vacations and take your kids to Disney World. How the hell am I going to do that when you don't give me time off to be with my kids? Anywho. So, on a story on NPR, a father, Kumar Chandran, he was finally home after, you know, 4 weeks with his infant son. And Chandran says there was no question he wanted to be home at this time. He works for a nonprofit and offers 4 weeks of paid parental leave, the same for men and for women. He says this has let him bond with his son and pick up on subtle cues. At first, it's like he's crying, he says Chandran. It could be 17 different things. And now you're like, oh, I think he's hungry. So just like he's able to like tell if it's a hungry cry, if it's a cry where he has gas, if it's a cry where, you know, he's sleepy. And then he also said there's a practical aspect. Every day he's like, he can't imagine doing this by himself. And if it's just having someone take him to, so that someone can take a 10-minute nap or eat or make breakfast or something like that. But Chandran will have to do it alone. Once his wife goes back to work, he plans to take another month off using vacation and sick leave. While an ever-rising share of men say they want to have this kind of time with a new child, Chandran is among a lucky few who actually do. In the U.S., paternity leave is a luxury. It's the only developed nation that doesn't guarantee paid time off, even for new mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Scott Coltrane, who is the interim president of the University of Oregon, researches fathers and families, says more young men want time off with a new child, but just 10 to 15% of U.S. employers offer paid paternity leave, almost all in white-collar professions. The main reason men don't take it is because they don't have wage replacement, so they can't afford it. Some states are acting on their own, mandating paid family leave for most workers. In California, the number of men taking it has doubled in a decade. And Coltrane says that's good for the men, kids, and women. Fathers who take leave end up doing more of the routine work later, Coltrane says. They do more of the transportation, more of the cooking, more of the childcare, more of the doing homework with the kids. It's just kind of an early buy-in that helps men stay involved later. In fact, some other places have taken pains to increase the share of new fathers taking paternity leave. Quebec, Norway, Sweden, they've dedicated daddy days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a use it or lose it system, and if the men don't take it, nobody gets it. Coltrane says programs like these have helped boost the number of fathers taking paternity leave from fewer than 2 in 10 to 8 in 10. But in the U.S., the stigma dies hard, and this past spring, there was a very public display of it when the New York Mets' Daniel Murphy took advantage of a paternity leave provision in the Major League Baseball Players Collective bargaining agreement and missed the first 2 games of the season for the birth of his first child. Aw. And, of course, sports radio lit up. Mike Francesca called in, and what is the maternity leave for a baseball player. I've never heard something so ludicrous in my life. That's what he said. And that person went on a 20-minute rant, noting that he'd been back behind the microphone the very day his kids were born. Oh my gosh. And then he goes, what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to sit there and look at your wife in a hospital bed for 2 days? Yeah, that's what you're going to do. What? You see, that's the problem. You know, men just like take their, not all men, but it's because of the way that society is. It promotes men to be able to have this kind of attitude where you're just like, I'm hands off. All right, well, I got to go back to work. See you later. Bye.
Right.
Like, and that's not fair. We made this together and then I held it for 9 months. You need to be here. If anything, I should be taking a nap for 9 months.
Hello.
What is the joke? So, yeah, how do you feel about men taking paternity leave?
I'm cool with them taking paternity leave. Just like, you know, you're saying, like, we need both of us to be here within our child being born. Like, right. I'm not doing this. I didn't do this alone.
Right.
So I better not do this alone.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you, just like how, what was it, in England where they give you, like, your nanny or something like
yeah,
that? Like,
that's, if you in Europe.
The nap and stuff like that. Like, if we, obviously, if we can't have a nanny, I'm not saying you got to get a nanny because you're the daddy, but you got to step up.
Take care of your kid.
Take care of your child.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm all for paternity leave. I'm all for paid maternity leave. That needs to really be a thing.
Yes.
In our country, but yes. I'm definitely for paternity leave.
Same here. We need to turn this nation around and make it more about family and less about working and money.
Yeah, we need to do. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we really need, because you know, at the end of the day, you can't take your money to the grave with you, but you're going to remember all the, you know, the times that you had with your family. Your, you know, the memories that you had when your baby first walked and your baby first cried, you know, when he peed on you, when you were changing his diaper, like those kind of things. Like money can't buy that kind of stuff. So we definitely need to change the attitude when it comes to families. And I am all for paid maternity leave, of course. I'm all for it. 'Cause the men do definitely need to be there. In the beginning, and that's the mommies are tired. Like, I remember one time I was watching Oprah, this was a long time ago, and one of them, a mom, she was the mother of twins, and she said that she would go, like, 3 days without having a shower. Because she was just too exhausted to even get into the shower. And also, nobody was really there with her to be able, like, her husband would come home after work, and that was it, you know? So, during the day, when she needed to go take a shower, she couldn't because nobody was there to watch the babies, and God forbid anything would happen to them while she was in the shower. And so when they were sleeping, she was sleeping because that's how you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to go on the sleep cycle with the babies. So while they're asleep, you sleep. And I mean, it was crazy. I was like, God, can you imagine not having a shower for 3 days? Oh my gosh.
No.
That's wild.
Especially now when you got a baby gook on you.
Right.
And all this kind of stuff.
Oh, yuck.
Wading in there pooping.
Oh my gosh.
Whatnot.
Nah. Yeah. So no. The daddies need to be home. They definitely need to be home.
And don't even think about coming home from a day at work saying that you had a hard day at work. Well, I'm here.
Don't even do it.
With these twins. Don't do it. The triplets or whatever.
Don't. Mm-hmm. Nope. Don't even fix, don't fix your lips to say that.
Don't.
Don't you even
think it. You better step out the house and come right back in the door. And
I know, that's
you.
Right.
What'd you say? I think you came to the wrong house.
I think you did. You need to go around the block real quick and cut and figure yourself out. And go find your brain because you clearly lost it.
Are you outside your mind, boy? You lost your mind. Shit, I'm not going to help you find it because I'm too tired from being here.
Okay, we need their turn.
You better go outside and find it yourself. is Stanley my secret spirit animal?
I think so. I think Stanley is your spirit animal. I think that's what it is.
All right. Yes. What's next?
It's Today I Learned.
Oh, yay.
Yay. So what did you learn today, Ari? All
right. Well, you know, one of the best things about being a kid is in going to school is when you get out of school for the summer.
Right.
And summer vacation for the children and for people who go to college and all that good stuff is coming to a close. Like, I can't believe it's almost September.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, in some schools, especially down south, they start probably, like, next week.
Yeah, my brother goes back to school next week.
So, how did summer vacations come about? So, actually, back in the day in the 19th century, schools happened all year round. According to mental floss, before the Civil War, kids who lived on the farm never had summers off. They went to school during the hottest and coldest months and stayed home during the spring and fall when crops needed to be planted and harvested. Meanwhile, city kids hit the books all year long, summers included. So as the cities got denser, they got hotter. Endless lanes of brick and concrete transformed urban blocks into kilns.
Oh, wow.
Thanks to the urban heat island effect. That's when America's swelling middle and upper classes started hightailing it to the cooler countryside, and that caused the problem. Mm. School attendance wasn't mandatory back then, and classrooms were being left half empty each summer. Something had to give. So legislators decided to pretty much start with the summer vacations, since kids weren't coming to school in the summer anyway.
Right.
And that was around the same time as having the 8-hour workday. So at the turn of the centuries, urban districts managed to cut about 60 school days from the most sweltering part of the year. Rural schools soon adopted the same pattern, so they wouldn't fall behind. Business folks saw an opportunity there, and the summer vacation business soon ballooned into what is now one of the country's largest billion-dollar industries.
Wow. Billion-dollar industry?
I guess. I mean, we do a lot of shit in the summer.
You're right.
When we're kids, like, that's the time you go to Disney World, you go to Six Flags, you go visit your aunts and uncles.
Yes.
All the traveling gets done in a lot of the traveling. Gets done in the summertime.
And you seen the ticket prices for these amusement parks now? Whoa, that was a great whistle.
Oh, thank you.
These ticket prices are wild. Like, more than 2 years ago, right before I moved here, I went to Harry Potter. So that's at Busch Gardens. That's at Universal Studios. So I went, and the ticket, and this was with my Florida resident discount, it was $86. If I wasn't a Florida resident, it would have cost me like $106. Mm-mm. And that was 3 years ago. So now, I don't know how much it is to even go to an amusement park now, but I remember like $87 used to get you 2 days when I was a kid. That used to get you 2 days, four parks when I was a kid. Now, $87 gets you one park, 1 day.
That's insane.
It's insane.
Like, and imagine if you have multiple kids.
Whoa.
You gotta be rich.
You gotta be rich. I mean, they do have these things where it's like a year pass, and the year pass costs like $267. But that only works really well if you live close within, like, you know, driving distance. So, like, you
right.
know, if you lived in Miami, and, you know, Orlando's only about 3.5 hours away as far as the drive is concerned, so it's not that bad, but, and you know, it works well when you have families. But for people who don't live in the area, and I mean, I know you're only coming once, but let's just say you have four kids and you and your husband, or, you know, whatever, you and your spouse. Whoa. Nobody's having four kids anymore anyway, so.
Unless you're Kim Zolciak.
Yeah, unless you're Kim Zolciak, who has, like, a football team, basically. You know, I didn't know that she had a baby between KJ and the twins. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So I was like, oh, my God. She has six babies.
She popped all them suckers out.
Whoa. Kudos to you, Kim, because you are really doing it.
Yes, you're doing it like Robin.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, keeping in theme with the school theme, I found out something too. I found out why teachers are associated with and traditionally given apples. Did you ever give your teacher an apple? I never gave my teacher an apple too, but I always used to see them do that on TV. They always used to do that on TV. I never did it in real life. I think one or two people, like the nerdy white kids, sorry white people, would bring their teacher an apple in school in real life. I saw it twice, and I was like, oh, please. I thought all people only did this on TV. Anyway, right. So here is a theory, or here is why it was. Widespread, publicly funded, mandatory education has only been around since about the 19th century. Before then, the responsibility of providing schooling to children fell primarily on their families. Upper and middle class families tended to hire tutors or send their children to a private school run by a schoolmaster. That didn't mean the children in the lower class families missed out on learning how to read and write. They often learned this at home through apprenticeships or at church-funded schools. In addition, some poor families scraped together enough money to pay for their children to receive an education. Some even worked out a barter arrangement with teachers where they paid with surplus produce from their family farm. So, for instance, poor students from farming families in Denmark and Sweden often brought baskets of potatoes or apples to school as payment, among other staples. The potato being used for food and the apple generally used for making drinks at the time. In the United States, things changed when various social reforms came about in the 1800s. The reforms addressed issues ranging from food, sanitation, treatment of the mentally ill, and even education. Schools became publicly funded and subject to regulations in order to ensure that all students were more or less getting the same educational opportunities. By 1913, a majority of the states in the United States of America required that schools be paid for by the government. However, towns on the sparsely settled western frontier still often bore the responsibility for paying for a teacher in the town. As before, they recruited teachers and they provided a schoolhouse where classes could be held, a place for the teachers to live, fuel for heating, and often food. In these sorts of arrangements, students were also often asked with helping the teacher maintain the schoolhouse, such as gathering on Saturdays to give it a thorough cleaning. So the tradition of bringing food to teachers continued even as the United States government took over the responsibility for funding public education in the West. The baskets of food were eventually replaced with smaller amounts as the old boarding round room and board pay system was replaced by more in the way of a cash salary. So why do school children traditionally give apples to their teachers? As mentioned, there are records of students from such places as Denmark and Sweden bringing both apples and potatoes to their teachers, among other things. So why don't students traditionally give potatoes to teachers? There are two generally accepted answers, one or both of which possibly contributing to this tradition over the food items like the potato. The first theory, teachers were often seen as a moral influence into the lives of children. Along with this, the tree of knowledge. So that's why they were giving them apples. You know, in the story of Adam and Eve, even though in the Bible it just says the forbidden fruit, it is not an apple. It's never mentioned that it's an apple. Aquila Ponticus, who was a second century translator translating the Old Testament from the Hebrew to Greek, he took the liberty of referring to the tree of knowledge as an apple tree, even though the original text doesn't say that, like I said. So that's one theory. A second popular theory of the continuance of giving apples arrived in North America shortly after the Jamestown colony was founded in the early 1600s. These apples, unlike the ones found in supermarkets today, tasted bitter, but they could be used to make hard apple cider. Yeah, because you know teachers need it. Many people, whether rightly or wrongly, considered hard cider a safer beverage than water because widespread sanitation of drinking water did not yet exist. Apple trees also flourished in a variety of climates, contributing to the popularity of the fruit. So basically, it started off where poor people paid for their schooling by giving their teachers apples. And so that's where it came from.
Ah, so this was technically the start of paying people in Trident layers.
Right. Exactly.
Awesome.
Right. They were paying them in Trident layers, and then finally the government stepped in and they started giving them cash salaries. So there you go. Like I said, I never gave a teacher an apple, but I know there were two nerdy white kids that did it while I was in school. Did you ever see anybody do it?
No. We're going to eat the apple. Get out of here.
Right. This is my snack. What? Where's the caramel? Not giving the raggedy ass. Do you remember your favorite teacher?
Oh gosh. I had a few teachers that I liked. Okay. Yeah.
I have a couple too. Miss Brown. She was my geometry teacher in high school. I really loved her. And she was black, so that's why I loved her. I was like, black women who love math, yes. I love her.
Sisters on Twitter for the
set. Yes! She couldn't even do it because she knew I was going to laugh. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Miss Murrigan, she was my fourth grade teacher. I loved Miss Murrigan. And my second and third grade teacher, Mrs. Profet, then later Mrs. John. She was a white lady who loved black men. And she was married to a Haitian man before. And then he passed away, unfortunately. And then she found a Trinidadian man to marry after. And she was very, very nice. And she loved me. And she was actually the one who not that I'm trying to brag, y'all. I'm really not. But she was one who really noticed my, I guess, intelligence. And she was like, I want you to go. She told my mom, she was like, I want your daughter to go see a psychologist. And my mom was like, what you trying to say, my baby crazy? And she was like, no, I want to get her IQ tested because I think that, you know, she performs a little bit better. So she was the one who saw, you know, who really like took a notice and took an interest in me. And if it wasn't for her, I don't know how I would have been in school. So she's like my top favorite teacher. I have to find her. That would be great if I could find her. But she did have a relationship with Humphrey Bogart. She was Hollywood royalty. She was anointed a legend during her lifetime by the American Film Institute. However, she wasn't fond of that when she spoke to Larry King in an interview in 2005. She was like, I don't like the category. And to begin with, to me, a legend is something that is not on Earth, that it's dead, she said.
Huh.
Yeah, legends were part of the past and Bacall preferred to be the present. But her international fame began before the backdrop of the world of World War II in 1944 with her first film, To Have and Have Not, which she made with her future husband, Humphrey Bogart. They married in 1945, had two children, and went on to make more films together, including The Big Sleep, Dark Passage, Key Largo. Bogart, however, died in 1957. She said that he was an extraordinary, extraordinary man. I mean, I've been extremely lucky. God, I have no complaints at all. And that's what she said about her late husband in the Larry King interview in 2005. Bacall's grandson said he got a call early Tuesday morning from his father, and she apparently had a stroke, a pretty massive one. And that's what her grandson said. And he also said she was, you can say she was a tough personality. She wanted the best, and if you weren't doing the best, she let you know about it. She was a great person. Catch her on a bad day, and it could be interesting. But she was a good grandma. She was lucky to have a pretty unique life, he said. She was awesome, and she was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous. I've only seen one movie that she's been in, and that was How to Marry a Millionaire.
That's the one I saw, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I think it's on Netflix now, too.
Is it?
I know that they have a lot of Marilyn Monroe movies up there. Like, I just watched Gentlemen Prefer Blondes last week.
Okay.
And I think that they have a few in that set that came out. Whatever. But, yeah, that was the only movie that I've ever seen her in. And I loved her voice. Like, I went through this classic movie phase. And that was one of the movies that I watched.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I absolutely loved her voice.
Yeah, her voice was great. It was great. And she was discovered by the wife of American film director Howard Hawks after she appeared on the cover of Harper's Bazaar as a lanky teen, and she was modeling at the time to earn extra money. Hawks later gave Bacall, who was born Betty Joan Persky, the name Lauren. Her last name, Bacall, came from her mother's maiden name.
Yeah, because, you know, everyone had different names.
Yeah, everybody, you know, had pseudonyms back then. You know, rest in peace. She had a long and very unique life, like her grandson said. And we thank you for your contributions to Hollywood.
Yes.
You will be missed.
Definitely.
All right. What
else? There's just no movie stars anymore.
Yeah,
man.
There really aren't. There really aren't. Like, who would you say is a movie star now?
We have, like, the new generation movie. I mean, it just came out that freaking YouTube stars are even kids nowadays. Look up to YouTube stars more than they look up to actual celebrities.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Shit. I don't know. Like, I can't even say that Will Smith is, like, a movie star. I think Tom Cruise is still a movie star.
I think Tom Cruise is still a movie star. I think Julia Roberts is still a movie star.
Kinda. I feel like we forgot about her.
You do?
Even though she's around, but I'm saying, like, she hasn't really been in movies like that.
True.
She's in movies, like, here and there.
Johnny Depp is a movie star.
Okay, yeah.
He's a movie star. Would you
Robert
say...
Robert Downey Jr. is a movie
star.
Oh,
yeah, for sure. What about Leonardo DiCaprio?
I'll say he's a movie star. Okay. Uh-huh.
What about females? Like, who are female movie stars?
Freaking Helen Mirren.
Why? How is she still alive? Like, I feel like she's been old for forever. And you know what? The funny thing is, like, in England, she was, like, a major, like, sex symbol.
I believe it.
That's what this lady that I used to work with, when Helen Mirren played the queen, she was like, she was saying how she had a really hard time, like, seeing her in that role because she was known as this, like, sex kitten in England. And I was like, what? Oh, my God. That's crazy.
I just Googled Helen Mirren Young, and, yeah, she was.
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to look at her, too, then.
Hold on a second. Yeah. I gotcha, girl.
Online, I wanna see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Here it comes. And that's what she said.
Oh! Good one. I was surprised at that one. I don't know why.
Thanks. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. She was a sex kitten. And you know what I love about England, though? England loves them some thick women. Except for Twiggy. Twiggy was, like, the only skinny person that they liked. Everybody else is always very curvaceous and full of boobs.
Twiggy changed the game.
Yeah, Twiggy really changed the game.
Here's one more.
God, Helen Mirren was, and not to say that she's ugly now, but oh my gosh. You better get it. I love this dress.
She looks great.
She does. Check her out.
Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it? Like, back then, I didn't Google it. And when my old coworker was telling me that, I was like, are you kidding? I was like, Helen Mirren? Oh, ew. But I can't say ill now because look at this hotness. Shoot, I want this dress to be, when I get married, this is the dress that I'm going to have as my leaving the wedding reception dress.
Aw, that's nice. She looks like Cleopatra.
She does. I wonder if that's the look they were going for.
Could be.
Anywho, what else do we have in TV time today?
Okay, it's not technically a TV show. It's a YouTube show, Roomie Lover Friends. And are you caught up on Roomie Lover Friends?
No, is it back?
Girl!
What?
It's been back. It's on, like, the sixth episode. And OMFG.
The sixth episode of what? Season 3?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Why didn't you tell me? Oh, my God. I need to catch up.
I have lost my mind on the last episode. Like, the last episode, and I won't spoil it. Well, I mean, it's kind of, like, been coming up to this point, so I'm not spoiling anything for you, really. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But Tomiko finds out about Jay's ex-girlfriend and how she's dating her dad.
I
held my breath the entire episode. It was so good.
Oh, my gosh. Soon as we get off, I'm going to go watch it.
You need to catch up on, obviously, everything. But this episode, I can tell you guys, I was, like, thoroughly pissed that they didn't, that it's taken them this long to get to this point, because it's like, yo, we found out that they started dating each other in season 2. What's gonna happen? Like, I'm tired of I don't like storylines that never come up again.
Right.
So I was about to hit them on Twitter like, yo, what's going on with this storyline? I'm about to stop watching.
If y'all don't finish this shit.
And then lo and behold, this episode, it goes into it, and I'm just like,
oh my gosh.
I'm literally biting my nails. It's so good.
Oh my goodness.
So if you guys have not watched Ruby Lover Friends, it's on YouTube and it's put on by this web series. A production company called Black and Sexy TV, and it's one of the best web series that I've seen. I think they act really well in it. Like, I can't stand Tomiko.
Ugh.
She is an annoying character, but she plays it so well. She's just annoying.
Yeah, she is.
Pretty much everyone that's on the show is good, and like, they really be making you roll your eyes and all that kind of stuff. So it's like a real TV show, but it's only like 15 minutes long, if that. But I would recommend you guys checking it out.
Definitely.
It's so good. It's about roommates that live with each other, a man and a woman, and they end up pretty much having sex and going on this little tryst with other characters and other boyfriends and ex-girlfriends in the way. And we find out, like, do they get into a relationship? Do they not get into a relationship? And it's so good.
But I love it.
Season 3, OMG.
Man, I didn't even know it was back. You know what? And the reason why I didn't know it was back is because I didn't subscribe to the show. That's the problem.
Oh.
That's why I didn't know.
Okay. Girl, I've been tweeting about it every episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I did see you say something about Rumi. Like, you just tweeted, Rumi Lover Friends. That's all I saw.
Oh, okay. When I tweet Rumi Lover Friends, that's when I'm watching it in the morning and I can't really tweet about it. But sometimes I'll tweet like, like, no, they did it.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
I'll like, live tweet the episode.
Yeah. So I just saw one tweet one time where you just like, Rumi Lover Friends. And it did pique my interest, but then I forgot to go back and go check to see if it was
girl.
So
go
now...
Back.
I know I need to go and watch it because it is a really good show. And Issa Rae, is she the one who writes the show?
No, I think that they just, I think it's because she has like a bigger audience that she was in conjunction with certain web series
to
put it on her channel. So it got like, you know, people got views. I don't think she really has anything to do with
Other
than it's like one of her, I guess, underneath the umbrella of the Issa Rae
thing. Got it. Well, yeah, it's definitely a really good show, and you guys need to go and check it out. I mean, that first season alone, we watched that, and we were just like, oh my God, can't wait. Like, we watched maybe 4 or 5 different web series that day.
Yes.
We had a YouTube web series marathon. And Rumi Lover Friends was probably the one that we liked the most out of all of the ones that we watched.
I think it was the theme song at first and Black and Sexy Baby.
Black and Sexy Baby. And Megan Bowen and the Sex. It had a chemistry. Okay. Look, you guys go watch it and you guys will be singing it with me too. Because that theme song is great. And speaking of theme songs, we were on the latest episode of The Lost Style, and we were with T. Sterling Watson in High Private Eye. So he was talking about a show that he's thinking about, you know, making, and he was talking about how he likes, you know, the title sequences really make the show. And so he sent me the link of, he's got a show that he's trying to write and get out there, and he sent me the link, the YouTube link for his title sequence. Ari, it was so good. I was like, I need to watch the show right now.
Right?
It was so good. It was so good. I cannot wait for him to make this show.
Right.
It was good. Yeah, so title sequences really, like, it really makes or break the show. Because, like, if it's, like, a whack one, you're just like, oh, God, I can't wait for this to be over. You don't even want to watch the show. But, like, the one for True Blood is really good. The one for Game of Thrones is good, but it's very long. And it's like, I just want to get to the show. and there's no words. It's just music. The one for True Blood, it's got words so you can sing along with it. Like, I feel like TV shows don't do that anymore. Have, like, songs that you can sing along to.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. Modern Family doesn't have one. What else? The Middle doesn't have one. What other comedies are there? Because I feel like comedies usually had them.
They do. I can't think of any, but I feel like the one that I've been singing along with as of late was the Orange is the New Black theme song.
Oh, yeah. Orange is the New Black. Definitely. That's the one I was always singing along with. And I love that. I love to be able to sing along with the title sequence. Power has one, but it's like a rap. And that.
Oh, yeah. I like that one, though.
Me too. I'm not learning the words, though.
No. I like the... This is a big
bitch
life.
Yeah. Is that Joe singing?
I don't know.
It sounded like him. And I was like, where did he find Joe? I need to know. I'm going to Google it right now and find out.
You know what? I just found out about TV theme songs. The fourth and fifth seasons of Martin was sung by the group Take Six.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Huh. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay. Let's see. Power. 50 Cent creates theme song for his series Power. Let's see who it's featured. Or featuring, excuse me.
Oh, someone thinks it's Joe, though.
It is Joe. That's what I said.
Yeah, I'll check you out.
All right. I know my voices. Yes. So, yeah, 50's new music video for the show's theme song, Big Rich Town, which also features R&B singer Joe. Where did they find him?
Listen, he wasn't doing nothing.
He wasn't. You're right.
No shade, Joe.
No shade. Yeah, so... So that, like, yeah, nobody has those anymore. So at first, when I was watching the one that Sterling sent me, and I was like, where are the words? Because I was like, I want to be able to sing along. And then the words, like, came in, like, boom. And then I was like, oh, my God, I am so intrigued. I want to know what this show is about right now.
Right.
I want to know. I want to watch
the show right now. I feel like if a show was on like that right now, it would speak to the time that we're going through.
Oh, definitely. Man. Yeah, because the show is like, you know, about civil rights, like a family going through civil rights stuff. That's what his idea is. I don't know if he has anything written for it, but he definitely has that title sequence, and it's great. So shout out to you, T, for Sterling Watson, and everybody who's listening, go check out their show, thelostdial.podbean.com, and they're also on iTunes, so check them out.
Yeah.
All right, so we are moving on. And this is one of our favorite segments.
Yes.
And it's Grinds Our Gears. And we had someone write in. Would you have, like, the honors of reading this, please, Ari?
Sure. All right. So, do we say this is from, right?
Yeah, from DST.
This is from DST Blaze, our friend Amina.
Yeah.
She says, hey guys, what grinds my gears more than almost anything is poor grammar and spelling, specifically the improper use of woman versus women. How on earth is it possible that like 75% of people don't know the difference on social media? I get that it's just social media, but seriously, I'm beginning to worry that many are clueless to the difference in real life. Say it with me. Say it with me, people. One man, woman. Two or more men, women. This is not rocket science. And to add insult to annoyance, this mistake is 9 out of 10 only made the word woman, yet they generally manage to get the distinction right when it comes to males. Oh, you right. So not only are they wrong, but they're wrong and sexist. I really just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Write the gospel.
Anytime I see it, I get mad. I'm like, ugh. They be like, a woman, you don't see that you spell that wrong? That doesn't, when you say it in your head, doesn't that feel wrong in your brain when you say it?
Feel wrong in your brain.
It doesn't feel wrong. Like for me, like if I'm typing something out and I make a mistake and write a plural while I'm typing it, it doesn't make sense in my brain and it makes my brain hurt. So I'm like, a woman. No, it's not a woman. A woman. Woman. Woman.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't understand it either.
How it works when okay, and one thing is, okay, if we're gonna stay on the lines of grammar, the one thing that has been bugging me lately is not knowing when something is plural and when using the apostrophe.
Ooh, dear.
So it's like, and I most commonly see it when it comes to like Jordans, like the sneakers. Like it's just Jordans with an S. Like there's no
apostrophe S.
There's no apostrophe S. Like Sundays, Mondays, apostrophe S. Like nah, like doesn't belong to Sunday. It's just Sundays.
So like, okay, wait, for Jordans, because is the shoe, because I, when I see Jordan's apostrophe S, I see it that way because it's Jordan's shoe.
Nah, they're a pair of Jordans.
So would you just, would you just call
a pair of Jordan.
Would you just call one of the shoes Jordan?
No, I think in this case, that's my Jordan. Yeah.
My Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Because the apostrophe S just indicates that it belongs to someone.
Yeah, that's why I say that, because it's his. It's a Nike shoe that was made for Michael Jordan.
But technically, if it's your shoe, it's like those are my Jordans. Even in that case, it's still plural.
Okay.
It's still the plural shoe.
Okay. I never saw issue with Jordans before because I see it as the shoes. They're like. They are Jordan's shoe. Not that they're mine now. I bought them, but the brand name is Jordan, and these are my Jordans. But I get it. I totally get it now. I see what you're saying. It makes sense. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. It's just like, it's baffling. Like, especially when I see the days of the week, and from people who consider themselves writers. Like, I know I slip up every now and then for everything, but like. Like, what are you doing? Or this is also another grinds my gears when it comes to like grammar and stuff. When you spell a celebrity's name wrong,
like
WTF, like when that whole thing with Stephen A. Smith was going down, one particular person on my timeline kept saying like Stephen with an A-N at the end and not an E-N.
Oh, come on.
And it was like, okay, maybe it's just once that's fine, but no, you're doing this every single time. Like, you think this is right.
Like, the other day, Vibe magazine tweeted something, and there was a grammatical error in the thing. Like, I hold publications to a different standard than everybody else, for sure. And you need to, 1, 2, 3, 20 times, check what you're writing before you put it out there. Like, this is what you do for a living. This is what you do. And if it's a major publication, I think you definitely need to be vigilant about checking your tweets for grammatical errors.
Yeah.
And what they put was, it wasn't Y-O-U apostrophe R-E welcome. They put your welcome, Y-O-U-R.
Nah, that's like glaring.
Yes. And I was just like, oh God, like I saw it and I cringed. Like, come on, Vibe. Like, what are you doing? They were like, it was something that they were showing us, like Drake's hottest whatever. You're welcome. No, it's not my welcome. It's not. It's not my welcome. What the hell? Like, it bothers me, and I don't want to be like the grammar police or, you know, the grammar grouch or whatever. But sometimes it's just like, when you constantly do it, that's what really annoys me. Like, there's this one dude on my timeline who always. And it's probably the same person that Amina is seeing. He always says women for woman. And he's a college-educated male. And he always types it women instead of woman. And we both follow this person. We're both following this person. So I have a feeling that this is the person that she's talking about.
Oh, my gosh. And it's like, some people, it's like, you can't even try and help them out, like, you know, and spell check them or whatever. Because then it's like you don't even want to go through the headache because people just don't care.
Yeah, they get mad or they just like, whatever. I'm glad that you had time to do that. Why don't you go count some money? Like, okay. I hate when they do that.
I agree. I will have to agree.
I'm glad you had time to check my tweets. Did you check your fridge to see if we had any food? Okay, what? Like, the two have nothing to do with one another. Like, learn how to spell, motherfucker, and not worry about my damn refrigerator. Like, people be getting me fake mad on Twitter. Like, I be so fake mad with what be going on Twitter. It's like, oh, I gotta log off. I cannot be here today. Because y'all be making me so mad. And that's what grinds my gears, too. Since we're on Grinds Our Gears, that pisses me off when y'all do that shit. Ugh. Y'all just be like, y'all just deflect everything, like, oh, whatever. I'm not even gonna acknowledge the fact that you are correct in pointing out my incorrectness, but I'm gonna talk about your raggedy fridge or your frayed pants. Like, what? Where did that even come from?
Right, you'll pick the most random things.
Yeah. But that's the thing. With being on the internet and everything, like, people don't know you. They don't know what you're wearing. All they can judge you by is your Avi. And so that's it. They have no intimate knowledge about you at all. So now they just pick some random crap out of the air. And it's just like, bruh, what are you even talking about? You don't know me like that. You don't know my life.
But I know how you spell.
Right. Exactly. So, you know nothing about me. What you just made was a guesstimation. However, I have proof right here with your raggedy tweets where you don't know how to spell. And you are grammatically incorrect. Thank you very much, raggedy. Ew. Anyway. Thank you. Do you have anything else that grinds your gears?
You know what? This is like a new grinds my gears, and it kind of falls along the same line. Not falls along the same lines, but falls in the lines of Robin Williams' death.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a new grinds my gears. Like, it doesn't, like, okay, I'll rephrase. It doesn't really grind my gears, but it brought a new awareness to depression and suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when people, you know, commit suicide, other people will say, like, they're so selfish to do it. And I feel like at this point, if you are a person who wants to learn new things and stuff like that, if you're not depressed, I guess it's hard to put yourself in the shoes of someone who is depressed.
Right.
So maybe saying that, like, it's selfish for them to do that might be, like, the wrong kind of thing. And it's, I don't know, I feel like it kind of, it makes you a victim versus making them a victim.
Right, right.
Because for them to even want to, I guess, kill themselves, like, they had to be going, like, that's, like, the last resort kind of thing to do.
Right.
And if they were successful in doing it, it's like you have to take a step back and, like, really wonder why did they want to do this.
Right.
Versus saying, well, you know, they're selfish. They have kids. They have a family. They have this. They have that. When we don't really know what's going on in the inside of their mind.
But then, right. And so I think it's also not to say that I want people to just go out there and commit suicide if they, you know, whatever. But in that same regard, for you to say it's selfish for them to commit suicide, isn't it selfish of, you know, somebody else to say, well, what about me?
Yeah.
Why live for me? Like, you, that's selfish. That's something very selfish to ask someone to live for you. And maybe instead of, you know, thinking that way, try to find, you know, something to help this person out of their depression, out of whatever it is, take you out of it and realize that they are hurting, and depression hurts. Like, and it's not something that you can put a bandage on. You can't just drink some cough syrup and you're going to be fine the next day. It's a pain that you just can't, you know, can't get rid of, you know, just by yourself. And then also, you know, people are just like, oh, well, you know, that's what happened when you don't believe in God. Like, look, I believe in God, and, you know, prayer does help, but sometimes you do need to go and see a psychiatrist, and maybe you do have a chemical imbalance. And so you need to take these medications to help you with your chemical imbalance. It's not fair for you to just judge someone and say, oh, that's what happened when you don't believe in God, when you only give your life.
Right.
That's so, I hate that Christian ideology. I don't like that form of Christianity, because Christians are supposed to be thoughtful and understanding and caring. And if you see somebody's going through depression or something like that, don't just, you know, just saying that you're going to pray for them and think that that's the only thing that's going to help them out of whatever they're going through. That's not fair. That's really, you know, just at that point, you could just keep your prayers, because you're not really out to just help them or give them real advice. You're just like, oh, well, I'm going to pray for you, and hopefully the prayers that I send up to God will help you. Like, no. Right.
I saw this really great video of this guy describing what it feels like to be depressed if you weren't aware of how it feels to be depressed. And he was pretty much saying, like, it's waking up every day and not wanting to do anything that you love. And even though, like, you really, really want to, you just can't muster up the strength to do that thing. Mm. And then it's like you have people coming at you saying, you know, like, who are upset, like, you're not how you used to be, and right. you want to be that way for them.
Right.
But you literally just can't
do it. You just
do
can't
it.
Do it. Oh.
So I thought it was a really good way to describe that.
Yeah.
I think I heard that Todd Bridges called Robin Williams selfish for committing suicide.
Okay,
he said that to the media, yeah.
He's outrageous. Yeah. You know, like, not that I've ever experienced depression to the point where I was suicidal. However, I've had days where I'm just not feeling down, and then, you know, some people, they just don't understand it. Like, because of course I'm usually chipper and, you know, have a great attitude or whatever like that, but y'all got to give me these days for me to be able to feel sad or not feel like talking or not feel like being engaging. You need, you know, and so it's just like, why aren't you happy? Why aren't you smiling? You need to smile. Like, I don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. Just
right.
just give me that. And so for Robin Williams, who's this comedic genius, and, you know, everybody's expecting him to make them laugh. Like, he's just supposed to be funny. No, he's going through something. He's hurting. He has pain. So you can't just ask him to, you know, make you laugh and shuck and jive like a monkey to make you laugh. Like, that is so selfish. Like, I had a friend of mine just recently, because, you know how I am with whole, like, I want you to match my energy when we're in text form. So if I say good morning, and when I have, like, exclamation point, I don't want you to just hit me back with a good morning, unless, you know, and when you do, that signifies to me that something is wrong. So I had a friend of mine text me good morning, and I just responded back morning, because I wasn't having a great morning at that time. Like, something was going on, and he was like, oh my gosh, you're not chipper. What's going on? Why aren't you happy? You need to be laughing. And I'm like, no, I don't need to be laughing, because I'm not happy right now. How about you just ask me, hey, is everything okay? I'd rather right. you do that before you tell me you need to be laughing. No, I don't need to be laughing, because I'm not in a good mood.
Right.
Ask me what's going on first. And so
I was going to say, like, that's where empathy comes in. It's like, we might not, if you're going through something, I might not be able to solve your problems, but at least you would know that I'm there for you.
Right, right.
In whatever you need, whether it's, you know, a hug, or if you want me to just sit there with you.
Yeah.
And not talk.
Yeah.
Or if you want me to point you in the direction of someone who can help you better, like.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Definitely. I'm glad this time around, as far as, like, with celebrity deaths, because, you know, like, Twitter has their phases with death and things like that and how they handle it. And this time it wasn't as volatile on Twitter as far as I could see. Because usually, like, people are just like, oh, you know, y'all didn't care about, I mean, I'm sure there were some people who said it, but before, I used to see it in abundance. Oh, y'all didn't care about so-and-so when 2 days ago, and now everybody's a so-and-so fan, and now this and that and that and this and da-da-da-da, or y'all on here fake sad, and, like, look, you don't know my life.
Right.
You don't know my life. You don't know anybody's life but your own. So if you are not sad about it, good. Go outside and do a cartwheel. Let the rest of us be sad on Twitter, because we are.
The only thing I saw was, like, a retweet of someone saying, like, oh, how can y'all, like, be sad, or how can you care about Robin Williams dying when, and he took his life, and Mike Brown died at the hands of a cop, kind of like thing.
Okay, well, that's two issues that we need to deal with. Depression, and we also need to deal with the way that the police are handling African Americans. That's what,
right.
those are the two issues. So right. they're not,
it's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same. And it doesn't make it where, you know, mourning should be excluded for one. It's they're both very serious issues that we need to discuss and, you know, try to find a way to resolve it. That's what we right. need to do. Although it's two different scenarios, we are allowed to mourn for both. Like,
so,
It boggles me that, you know, you can mourn for this person, but you can't mourn for that. Who are you to tell me who I can mourn for and who I can't?
Doesn't make sense.
Oh.
Did you have anything that grinds your gears?
No. So I think I did talk about all my gears that I needed to grind. Or that have been grounded.
Alright.
So, is it cocktail time?
I think it's cocktail time.
Alright.
What are we sipping on this week?
Ooh, this week, since, you know, we were talking about all the school stuff, we're talking about, or the drink is called Back in Session.
Oh.
And this is a super easy drink, and Ari and I are going to have some this weekend.
Yes.
And
I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm so ready. I'm like, my mouth is watering just thinking about it right now. I'm so thirsty. And that's what she said.
Oh.
So basically what you're going to need is you're going to need some Pinnacle Vodka, one part Pinnacle Vodka, and then two parts lemon lime soda. So 7-Up or Sprite or what is the not name brand soda up here that's lemon lime? Like, what is the brand? America's Choice?
It could be America's Choice but you can't get America's Choice everywhere.
Okay.
So just whatever store brand.
Shasta. You know, real quick, I saw Shasta in the store and I thought Shasta was a TV brand. I didn't know you could really buy Shasta.
Yeah.
I always thought, you know how like they have their own like TV sodas like Acme, whatever. I thought Shasta was a TV soda. So when I went to the store recently and I saw Shasta and I was like, what? This is a real cola that people can buy? Down south, like in Winn-Dixie, we have Check. That's their brand, Check. And then Publix has their own brand of soda, which is just Publix. But Check soda is the Winn-Dixie brand. Girl, that Check soda be flat in an hour.
Oh my gosh.
I'm being, this is hyperbole, but really, like, in 2 days, for sure, it's not going to be bubbly anymore. It's not going to be carbonated. After you open it, like, 3 or 4 times, girl, all the bubbles is gone. And I do not like flat soda. People who like flat soda are terrorists.
Gross.
Ugh.
Just drink the syrup.
What? Like, gross. Like, I had a friend of mine who would, like, sit there and, like, open, close to get all the carbonation out of the drink. And I'm like, this is disgusting.
Why don't they just shake it?
That's what they would do. Shake it, let it rest for a little bit, open it, shake it, let it rest for a little bit, open it. I mean, they had it down to a science so that, you know, the soda wouldn't, like, pop, you know, flow out. They had it down to a science. And I'm like, are you for real? This is gross. This is just like, you might as well just be drinking dirty water.
Yuck.
Sweet, dirty water. That's what you should be drinking. Ew. Okay, so back to the drink. One part's Pinnacle Vodka, two parts lemon lime soda. And you're going to put that into a highball glass that's with ice. Just pour it into there. And that is the drink. That's the Back in Session.
Pinnacle Peach.
Pinnacle Peach Vodka. Yes. You have to make that clear. Thank you. Pinnacle Peach Vodka. So that's the Back in Session. And it's a really easy drink because y'all are going to be studying hard in school anyway. So why not make something really easy before you go back to school?
Yes.
And make sure you guys are 21 and over. Or of the legal drinking age, whatever country that you're in. Because I know we're going to give you shout-outs. I see China, Canada, England.
Everywhere but here.
Yeah. No, but I was giving the people shout-outs because we've got people from, like, international listeners.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you so much for listening. Ireland, Jamaica. What else did I see? France. Thank you so much. Holland. Thank you. Thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. We look at our numbers and our stats and where people are logging in from. And Japan, too. Thank you for listening.
Ow.
And, you know, you guys, follow us. Don't be shy. Like, follow us on Twitter and interact with us. We love it. It makes us so happy when we get new followers.
It does.
Yeah. So definitely talk to us. So on that note, is that the end of our show?
That is the end of our show. Oh my gosh. Episode 76 has come to a close.
To a close. Well, Ari, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ariel Sheree. What about you, Didi?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as well. Lucky Stars, LuckieStarz. And you can find us, the show, on Twitter, Catnaps, the letter N, Cognac. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/catnapsandcognac. Check us out on our Podbean website, catnapsandcognac.podbean.com. We're also on iTunes. Just search for Catnaps and Cognac. Please make sure to rate us and leave us some comments on iTunes. And don't forget to like our page on Facebook, please. And we're also on the Spreaker Network, so check us out there. And, yeah, don't forget to email us for Grinds Our Gears and also Ask Ari and Deeds. Or also, if you have any other segments or something that you would like for us to talk about, please send us a quick email and we'll be sure to discuss it on the show.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, lots of fun. And our email is catnaps.andcognac@gmail.com. So I think that's it.
That's it, guys.
All right, well, we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Found my locker and I found my glasses. I lost my lunch and I broke my glasses.
That guy is huge.
That girl is wailing.
First day of school.